It's been more than 36 hours since torrential storms pushed swollen streams over their banks in the Baltimore region, causing major damage in Ellicott City and in the Woodbury section of Baltimore. Two people died in the flooding in Ellicott City, and officials there say it will be months before things return to normal. WYPR's news team was in both places today to assess the damage and the first steps of recovery. We start with Kenneth Burns in Ellicott City.
Trucks with heavy equipment and police cruisers streamed down Ellicott Mills Drive onto Main Street, each vehicle followed by a cloud of dirt. Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford, who lives in Howard County, was here early Sunday morning after the storm and was back again today.
It was a disaster scene, right out of a Hollywood movie in terms of the devastation that had occurred, particularly with the businesses further down on Main Street.
Rutherford said cars were overturned and even on top of each other. He noted some of the progress made in the cleanup efforts.
You don't have all the cars that were down here on the side and some of the debris that was off on the side that is out of the streets now. And then this parking lot over here, there were cars that were strewn over that are not there now.
The lieutenant governor looked at the progress being made before heading to his office. But before he took off, he spoke with Jane Johnson, who owns the Judge's Bench Tavern. She said the last time there was a flood in Ellicott City was Tropical Storm Lee 5 years ago, but she has never seen anything like this.
Because this is actual structural damage, it's a total devastation of some of the buildings, and the floodwaters probably got up a little bit higher.
Johnson, who owns the tavern with her husband, was told there was some minor flooding near the tavern's entrance at the bottom of a landing. She got out a sump pump to get some of the water out. She said customers inside noticed the rushing water outside.
People then started to go to the front, to the windows, and then step outside to watch the lake that was really rushing through the street.
News of the flooding reached her husband, who's been overseas on a business trip.
I didn't tell him anything, but I guess it was about 11 o'clock, I get a text from him, and it says, "What's happening there?" And then I knew that something had flagged him. I don't know if he saw anything on the news in Scotland or if it was family members who were emailing or texting him asking, you know, forgetting that he was overseas, asking him how we were.
While Johnson's Tavern weathered the flood, others didn't. Megan Clark owned Ellicott City Toyland.
The ground, the sidewalk in front of it was gone. The windows were gone. There's a huge tree that came through the back, so it took down the third floor all the way down to the first floor.
So the building you're in is gone?
Yes, I would say it's gone.
She was in the progress of closing her business to spend time with her newborn son when the storm hit. Officials said of the 200 properties inspected, 20 to 30 properties suffered severe damage. 4 to 5 of them are considered destroyed. Clark said she hopes the other businesses are able to reopen and that people will patronize them once again.
It's important. Come down here. Support small businesses, you know. We need the help. You know, that's what we run off of. That's where how we support our families. It's from all the locals down here helping.
Clark had a chance to ask Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman how soon businesses would be able to assess their shops. Kittleman told her.
Yes, today. We want this afternoon.
Okay,
which
so
business
I'm
is yours?
The toy store, Ellicott
yes.
City Toy.
Yeah, but I mean, again, we're not going to let people go inside.
Yeah, oh, my store's yeah. gone. So.
Kittleman was here in the morning and returned later with Senator Barbara Mikulski, who toured the devastation. He said he was working on logistical plans toward helping Ellicott City recover.
It's been busy. Been running around dealing with issues of what's next for Ellicott City between the planning of debris removal, between shoring up buildings, between allowing individuals who have business properties here to be able to see their properties.
He spoke of the resolve of Ellicott City residents.
Oh my gosh, I mean, I'm very impressed by the determination and the positive attitude of the residents here in Ellicott City.
Not far from the bridge into downtown Ellicott City from Baltimore County, a group of residents from the nearby Westchester community set up a cooling station for officers, recovery workers, and others helping to dig Ellicott City out.
We have Gatorade, water, soda, chips, sandwiches, fruit.
Cheryl Trevelli, who is watching the cooling station for today, said it was a community effort to provide a cold drink and shade for workers. She added many of her neighbors were devastated by what happened.
Our family and all the families around here walk to Main Street. And the shops down there, we know people that own shops down there, and it was just heartbreaking.
Trevelli says the Ellicott City Partnership is organizing volunteers to assist with the cleanup. I'm Kenneth Burns in Ellicott City for 88.1 WYPR.
And I'm Samantha Max in Woodbury, where the Jones Falls surged over its banks Saturday and gushed several feet deep through businesses at Meadow Mill. Earlier today, muddy water spilled along the parking lot as employees of local businesses filled dumpsters with wet trash and sprayed down dirt-covered merchandise and equipment. Leaves and branches cluttered the area, poking out of the front grills of several cars. Inside, giant fans air-dried the wet mess. Brian Arnold, co-owner of Nepenthe Homebrew, a local beer and wine homebrew supply store, has spent the past 2 days cleaning up mounds of mud and debris.
We got about 3 inches of rain over the span of 2 hours, and the river went completely insane. Rose about 13 feet, jumped through our parking lot, and just kind of obliterated our shop.
A friend who works at a bar down the street contacted Arnold during the storm on Saturday and suggested he check out the damage. When Arnold arrived, the police had closed off the area for safety reasons. He and his wife, co-owner Jill Antos, couldn't get into the store until yesterday when they found...
just complete and absolute chaos. Our water line in here is about 55 inches, so not quite 5 feet.
Some inventory floated to a new spot without enduring any damage, but most items didn't weather the storm well.
Everything is covered in mud. Everything is sopping wet. It smells awful. Obviously, we carry a lot of malted grains for people to make beer, so all of that smells like a brewery the first day. The second day, it smells like wild fermentation. The third day, it smells like feces, which is, we're almost there right now.
This isn't the first time Antos and Arnold have dealt with flooding in their retail space. Their store suffered damage from another severe storm in 2014. Last time, local community members and nearby businesses helped fundraise, clean, and even restock inventory. In the past day, the business has already raised more than $8,000 from a GoFundMe page. Now comes the cleanup.
We've got to clear everything out. We've got to photograph everything, separate salvage from garbage. Then we've got to clean the space out.
With the last flood, Nepenthe Homebrew received an outpouring of support from loyal customers, which actually helped business, despite setbacks from the damage. Arnold hopes for a similar silver lining this time around. I'm Samantha Max, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.